Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of Movement Radio. I am Chip Hazard.
I'm Talon Williams.
And I'm Roger Sierra.
And we are joined by a very special guest, Deacon Rapp. How's it going today?
Hey, Chip, do you hear that noise?
No, I don't.
That's the sound of the people getting out of their seats because finally, Deacon Rapp has come back to Movement Radio. Actually, that's a lie. I've actually never been here, but I got here as soon as I could. If yes, the man! Oh, what Deacon Rapp is cooking.
Oh, he's going to fit right in.
Man, I love you.
He just went right in. He just went in. Nope. Just that's great. Yeah. I love it.
You see, the reason why I go in. You see, I'm not just a nerdy rapper. I'm the nerdiest rapper in the game. And I got the receipts and the resume to back that statement up. Now, am I the best nerdy rapper? No. But I am Demo, JDM Rod, Falcon Zord, Flying, Cosplay Wearing, Woo! Nerd Life Rapping, Woo! Otaku Rapping, Son of a... Wait, can I cuss?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Son of a bitch!
Woo! I like how everybody always asks us that right as they're about to cuss.
Yes.
I'm so happy right now. I can't tell you.
We always like to start these off with, for those who don't know who Deacon Rapp is, who is Deacon Rapp?
Well, I'm a nerdy slash otaku slash Power Ranger rapper from San Antonio, Texas. As you can tell, I'm pretty fond of the White Ranger, and I also do panels at cons. I work in radio. I run a podcast. I do graphic design, video editing. I play six instruments. I do just about everything.
Good Lord. Wow.
Jack of all trades, yeah.
What instruments do you play?
Let's see. I learned guitar because the girl I like guys who play guitar. And then I started playing bass. Then I started playing piano because all three of them were easy. Then I had the opportunity to learn how to play drums, which, you know, I can't play, but I can play. And then I got one time I randomly picked up a violin because I noticed it looked so similar to a guitar. And I'm like, oh, this is much easier than I thought it was going to be. And then there's the harmonica, which I can play blues, but that's it. Don't ask me to play anything else.
That's awesome, man.
You know, there's something about when you hear a song and the harmonica comes on, you just know it's fixing to be a banger.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Blues Traveler. I mean, what else can you say? So I'm the only one that listens to Blues Traveler? Really? All right, whatever.
I mean, they came out before I was born, I think, so.
Everything came out before you was born, Roger.
That's not true.
Anyway. All right, so... Chip asked the question, who is Deacon Rapp? I'm going to ask, who was Deacon Rapp before everything that you got, like your upbringing and stuff? You said you was originally from, you said San Antonio, Texas, correct? When did you start getting into nerd culture, Power Rangers, and all these different things?
Well, let's see. I come from a music family. Like, my great-great Uncle Charlie played guitar during the Civil War. And like my grandma, she sang country music. My dad and my uncle were in like a rock band, like the Beach Boys, Beatles. My two older brothers were in a rock band, like they did grunge music, and I'm the rapper of the family. As far as how I got into it, I've always been into it. You know, I had a Nintendo 64. I had Power Rangers on VHS. I loved watching cartoons, and I eventually discovered Dragon Ball, which is my love for anime. And, you know, basically who I am now is kind of the same person I was 5 years ago. Like, there's a picture of me trying to play Blue Suede Shoes on the guitar, and I'm wearing a shirt that had Dragon Ball Z on it. So, who I was when I was five is the same person I am at 25.
That's great, man.
So speaking of you doing Blue Suede Shoes, I seen a video of you dressed as the White Ranger doing an Elvis tribute.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't an Elvis tribute. It was a tribute to JDF. I changed the words around to be about Power Rangers. Like, in the song, it's like, If I can dream of a better land where all my brothers walk together holding hands, I change it to where all the rangers walk hand in hand. And then out there in the dark, there's a beckoning candle. Out there in the dark, there's a green ranger's candle.
Mm.
Yeah, so,
and then like, yeah. And then whenever I perform it, you see all the visuals of JDF and all his ranger forms.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, I did see that. I thought that was really awesome.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
When did you figure out that you could rap, and what made you decide to put nerd culture into rapping?
In the words of iCube, hip-hop is a reflection of your reality. You know, going to anime conventions, Power Rangers, you know, this is my reality. No, I'm not going to rap about being from the hood if I'm not from the hood. Like, I kind of was, but it's like I never was really involved with stuff. You know, like, stuff was going on, but it's like, you know, I never knew this stuff was going on. You know, and then, like, what do you call it? Plus, I went to the type of school where, like, you know, nobody was really gangsters. They're more like spoiled military brats trying to be hard, which never made sense to me. Because, like, you know, I was the broke kid at school. Everyone else had, like, iPhones and cars and shit. And I'm going home, and it's like, oh, I'm one of the broke kids at a school with, you know, kids who have parents with money. So
I feel you on that one.
Never made sense to me.
I feel you on that one. In terms of hip-hop, you obviously said you was the rapper of the family. Who were some of your favorite rappers growing up?
So when I was 10 years old, I discovered MTV's Morning Music Videos. I'm just flipping the channels, and I see the guy with braids from Too Fast, Too Furious, because I'm a big Fast and Furious fan. I'm like, oh, that's the guy from Too Fast, Too Furious. And
Ludacris.
Ludacris. And he was rapping that song, Get Back. Get back, motherfucker, you don't know me like that. Get back, motherfucker, you don't know me like that. And then they played Snoop Dogg. Now, I knew who Snoop Dogg was, but I never knew what he looked like. Because my dad, after he got out of the band, he was a DJ. And I had one of those little kid cassette tape thingies. And nobody knew that I would go into the garage and take a cassette tape. And I'll just take a random one. And I love Gin and Juice by Snoop Dogg. And I love Selena Live. By Selena Live's cassette tape. Like, oh my God, that was amazing. So then here's Eminem singing Like Toy Soldiers. And my first thought was, why is this white guy singing black music? You know, because, you know, as a 10 years old, the way I knew rap music back then, especially back then, that was my whole indication. I've never seen a white guy rapping before. Because, you know, I've been aware of rap. Like, I'm aware of the Fat Boys. I'm aware of MC Hammer. You know, I was aware of these guys. But it wasn't until I heard that Eminem song that I'm like, I really liked it. You know, because, like, I just hear Ludacris, right? Get back, you don't know me like that. Snoop Dogg, you know you want some more, girl. Let it flow. You know? And then here's Eminem saying stuff like, there used to be a time when you could just say a rhyme and wouldn't have to worry about one of your people dying, but now we celebrate it. Even as an adult, I'm like, that was so deep because that's so real. You know, there used to be a time we wouldn't have to worry about our people dying over some stuff we said on a song, but now we celebrate when our people get killed. Like, make it make sense.
I mean,
yeah.
So 2 weeks later, I discover 8 Mile, and at the end of the movie, I'm like, I take it as a sign from some higher power that this is what I was put on this earth to do. And for the last, going on 15, 16 years now, I thought of nothing but becoming a famous rapper like Eminem.
So how did you come about doing that? Like, what was it like when you said, okay, you made the conscious decision, you want to be a hip-hop artist, you want to be a rapper. What was the next step that you took after you had this realization?
So, at this time, my dad started putting me in church 5 days a week. So it's like, if I'm going to be a rapper, I got to do church music or else I can't really do this. And I was okay at it, but this is at a time where hip-hop wasn't as accepted in the church as it is now. Because, like, back then, you know, I made this demo CD. We went to every church in town. Nobody wanted to play because it was rap. And then here we are, I think I'm like 14, 15. I just remember 2013, I'm at MizumiCon, and they're this thing on YouTube people are doing called parodies, right? They're this parody of, you know the song by Bruno Mars, Grenade?
Yes.
There's a guy called Key of Awesome, he did a parody of it, and he's like, we just met, but I know you're my soulmate. I got your name tattooed on my chest, neck, and face. Let's kiss right away, or at least pick a date I got next week open. Right? And the guy's talking about all these different things he'll do for the girl. Like, I'll chop off my head for you. I'll go off my meds for you, whatever. And then they do a parody of Eminem, right? They do a parody of I'm Not Afraid. I'm not afraid to throw a chair. It was from IKEA, so I don't care. And I get this idea. I should make a parody about of Today Was a Good Day by Ice Cube. And let me make it about this anime convention, right? So I did. And my favorite line from that. Went to tabletop. They were playing that Yu-Gi-Oh! Talking about Power Code. Shuffle. Shuffle in an overly dramatic fashion with my dragon. Life pulled a one. Yeah. And so then at the next con, here we are a few months later at Anime Odyssey. And people are recognizing me. Oh, you're the guy who did the rap song. I'm like, this is different. Maybe I should put the church music on hold and start doing this new music for a while. And then my big break of notification came when I did a parody at Stan Japan. I did a parody of Hard Out Here for a Pimp.
Okay.
You know it's fun out here at Stan Japan when you're trying to do the cosplaying thing. For all of you noobs and your friends, you'll have a whole lot of bum at Stan Japan. And my favorite line, I got a Yu-Gi-Oh deck and a magic one too. You play the wrong card and they'll both beat you. That's the way the game goes when we out stand your pen and got to get the glow stick before we start to go raving. Yeah.
I dig it.
I like it. I like it.
Yes. Hey.
And so ever since then, it's like I'm not doing church music anymore. I'm doing nerdy music. However, I would love to do church music again. However, it's like, am I doing this to hop on a trend or am I doing this for the right reason? And right, I feel like if I'm not going to do this for the right reason, I really shouldn't do church music anymore because, like, you know, I'm not trying to get too religious, but it's like, you know, I was taught that it's not right to try and make a profit off of religion. If you're not going to do it for the right reason, you know, don't do it.
Amen. He said it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree completely. So you started going to conventions and doing panels and everything. What was the first convention that you remember going to?
San Japan 2009 or San Japan 3. So at this time, I really wanted to be a rapper, like regular rappers. So I had a do-rag, I had a grill. I convinced my dad to pay $200 for Air Jordans. I had Sean Johns. I had the whole shebang. Like, and at the time, my dad was doing better financially. So, you guys ever see Soul Plane?
Yes.
I was basically the white kid from Soul Plane. I have no pictures of me in this. So, anytime people ask, so what's your awkward middle school picture? I just show them a clip of the white kid from Soul Plane.
Oh, my God.
So after going to San Japan, I've never seen people like me that like anime. I've never seen people my age, older than me, that still play Yu-Gi-Oh! And after San Japan, I'm like, what am I doing? You know, taking off the do-rag. This isn't me. I stopped dressing like the white kids from Soul Plane. I stopped asking my dad to buy me more Air Jordans. And I truly accepted myself for the nerd that I am.
That's awesome. Hell yeah, awesome.
Man. That's great.
So when did you, at what point during your con career did you start doing panels and performing your music?
I started performing my music in 2017. PokeFest here in San Antonio was the first one to take a chance on me. I remember clear day, there was one con owner who said, my idea was stupid. People who go to anime conventions don't listen to rap music. I don't remember who this person, I remember their face, I don't remember their name or their con. I just remember that, like, their con was one and done.
Well, that's because he didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And ever since then, I've been doing convention consecutively, and I didn't start doing panels, per se, until around when the pandemic was over. Because, like, during the pandemic, you know, I stayed working. I stayed researching. I'm like, if I can't go and perform at cons, let me do this. Like, I saw the Tonight Show. I'm like, oh, everyone's watching live streams. Let me do something like the Tonight Show. So I did that for a while. And then stuff started opening back up. And so I took all this, not like, I met people from New York. I met people from Cali because of the pandemic. Like, I learned a lot. So here we are, IckyCon, like 2020. And I applied this formula because one thing I learned is you're a rapper, right? What else? Like, what else can you do? Are you a one-trick pony or are you a one-stop shop? So I started doing Initial D discussion because I could talk about Initial D for an hour. And I did Anime Bingo because, like, I went to it before and I always thought it could be better. And so once I went to that first IckyCon that happened when stuff started opening back up, I saw that the formula works. It just needs tweaking. And now I have about 11 panels that I offer. That's including the concerts. And there's 3 different concerts that I offer.
No, that's awesome. Yeah. Now, do you only go to cons in the San Antonio or Texas area, or do you travel as well?
I would love to travel. The issue is, for one, I only go to cons that I'm a guest at, for one, simply because I can save money, time, and resources. Because when you go to my concert and my panel, you're not just going to a concert and a panel, you're going for an experience. Like, for example, when we do Anime Bingo, right? This is how it goes. And here we have the second worst dad in anime history, Goku. Seriously, the only dad worse than Goku is the dad from Fullmetal Alchemist. Facts. And some people are like, bro, really?
Facts.
And then the next one. And here we have, oh my god, a useless. You just happened to call her Sakura. Useless. I show a picture of Sakura, I'm like, useless. Useless. And then there's a picture of a trash can, right? And I'm like, your waifu. Put a bingo chip on your waifu. And then there's also a raffle in between. So after someone calls out bingo, I pull out a raffle ticket. So even if, because there's always like, there's never enough bingo cards. And at this point, I have like 150 of them, and there's never enough bingo cards most of the time, especially at bigger cons. So I do the raffle too as a way to, you didn't get bingo, but you still have a chance to win something.
Okay.
That's cool.
And that's just the bingo panel.
That's awesome. Yeah, we started earlier this year offering panels at conventions as well. We have a convention coming up next month where we have like 4 panels scheduled on top of all of our interviews and everything. So I definitely understand the the concept and being busy behind that portion.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's so hard. It's so hard to talk to people, like, because you're always constantly moving on, always constantly working. Like, I'm pretty sure you've had, like, friends and family be like, hey, we'll come check you out. We'll come hang out with you, you know, stuff like that. And I'm sure for you, it's like you're super, super busy, you know, most of the time, correct?
Yeah. My family doesn't even invite me anywhere anymore. Like, I noticed around 2019, they stopped inviting me to Christmas. And this is before I got busy. They stopped inviting me to Christmas and Thanksgiving. And so I'm like, you know what? Like, I don't really need you guys. I never needed you before. I don't need... Long story short, I avoided my family as a kid for a lot of reasons. And then now I avoid him for different reasons. But yeah, I would never really... I would never really close to family. So, you know, family not showing support, it's, you know... I predict that, like, you know, they show the least amount of support... Yet the first time they see me with Eminem and Dr. Dre, they're going to be the first ones with their hands out.
No, of course. Like, that's the way it always works.
Oh, yeah.
That's the way it always works.
Yeah.
So how we got connected was through Stephanie Nadalny. When did you meet her, and how has she helped you in your journey?
So the first time I actually met her was at the recording studio here in San Antonio. I had she had asked me to do a song with her.
Okay. What song? Has it been released yet? Is this something you can talk about?
All I can tell you is that I did a song with Linda Young, who voices Frieza, which is available now on Apple Music, Spotify, everywhere. And the next day, Stephanie Nadalny hit me up, interested in doing a song. And I told her, you know, the next time you're in San Antonio, just hit me up and we'll set aside some time. And we did the song. And she rapped in her Gohan voice.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, wow.
I can't wait to hear that.
Linda Young, she raps in her Frieza voice.
Okay. Definitely going to have to find that on
I'm doing it
Spotify.
Now.
What's the name of the song again?
What's the name of the song?
Just type in Power Rangers versus Frieza.
Okay.
Power Rangers versus Frieza. Yes.
Power Rangers versus Frieza. And if you can play it live here, that would be awesome. And you guys have me for an hour and 12 minutes before I gotta go.
Okay. Can we play it and not get a copyright strike? There's the issue.
I don't know. Because here's the thing. I'm the original owner of the song, and I'm giving
you... Is that it?
Yes, that is it. Do you
That's
get
it.
The reference in that picture?
It's Draken.
Yeah, Draken. Frieza is Draken, and that basically would
happen. All the Power Ranger helmets are at his feet.
Yeah, notice they're not none of them are from the same iteration. And notice the Draken helmet is exactly on the top.
Yeah. Oh shit.
Yeah.
Yep. There's you. Right there. We're in the Green Ranger suit. Hell yeah. All right, I'm definitely going to be. You know what? I'm just gonna go ahead and follow you on Spotify.
Well, thank you
help,
very much.
Help you out as much as I can, buddy.
Thank you.
One thing
I can tell you though is that I have a song with Chuck Huber, who voices Android 17, and that's the next song that's gonna come out.
Oh,
okay,
nice.
Do you have a release date for that yet, or?
No, we're currently working on the cover art.
Okay.
And like all the legal stuff has been taken care of. It's just the cover art, and then I can finally start making a plan.
Okay. Awesome. So
you
have a song with Frieza, Gohan, Android 17. What's next?
There are three other voice actors that I can't legally say yet.
Oh, man.
Is one of them from Full Metal Alchemist?
Chuck Huber from Full Metal Alchemist. He plays the dad.
Yeah. I had somebody else in my head when I asked Full Metal Alchemist, so that's why I was asking.
I can tell you that two of them are from Dragon Ball, and one of them is from Blue Lock.
We know the guy.
It may not be him, but we
know a guy who does Blue Lock.
What's his name?
Is it Alex?
Is it Alex Hom?
No.
Dang.
That's all I'm going to say. Good.
Hold on.
No. He literally said he can't legally say at the moment.
It's an NDA, non-disclosure agreement.
He doesn't have to say, he can just wink very, very violently.
Blink twice if...
Are we going to start this blink twice shit again, Chip?
Yeah.
Yes. That's how you get around stuff.
Yeah, that's how you get around stuff. SOS it.
Yeah. When you're not, you can't say it when you're not, you know what? We'll discuss that later.
I'm sorry, Deacon. You were going to say.
Yeah, we go off on tangents. We apologize.
Oh, no. You're fine. I like going off on tangent. Like in my podcast, we tend to do it all the time.
That's what makes it interesting, you know, in my opinion. But so you started the episode with an homage to The Rock. Are you also a wrestling fan?
Well, let me tell you something, brother. This a Deacon Rap. Doesn't he love the Attitude Era? What? The Golden Era? What? The New Era? What? Ruthless Aggression? PG, and all the WWE, and that's all I gotta say about that. So, if you wanna talk about wrestling, come talk about wrestling!
Well, we definitely can do that.
Yes. Oh, yeah, golly.
No, I'll just hit you. Who's your favorite wrestler?
John Cena. Bam, 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 bam. So here's why. John Cena is my favorite wrestler because I learned so much from John Cena about being an entertainer. Like, never this dude up. Would walk out to, like, Cena sucks! And smile through the whole thing. He doesn't crack. He gives on a great show. You can't even see him crack. And it's like, you know, that really helped with my confidence, especially when I was younger and starting out. It's like, you know, people told me I sucked all the time, but John Cena was able to still smile through everything and never like held back. He never like, you know, had that insecure moment where he freezes in between moves. No, he always gave it, even though you're constantly hearing Cena sucks.
That's a well-respected answer. I can't get upset about that. I mean, it's
And I can't if get upset I gotta say someone, like, I gotta say Undertaker and Shawn Michaels are also my favorite as far as like artistic, because I know wrestling is also an art form and storytelling. When it comes to the storytelling and art form, nobody does it better than the Undertaker and Shawn Michaels. Like,
When did you, like, first start watching wrestling? Like, how far back does it go with you?
So, it was April 2006. My friends who came over, they wanted to watch wrestling, and I've never seen wrestling. And this was the night after WrestleMania 22. Yeah, so it was Triple H, John Cena, and Edge. And I remember clear as day, it's like, hey, I was WWE champion. Were you? I remember taking a nap and waking up.
And I missed the whole damn thing. That was the He-Man Skeletor promo that they cut when John Cena called him He-Man Skeletor because of the way they dressed. Yeah, I remember that. That was right after Edge and Mick Foley in that hardcore match. Yeah.
I had WrestleMania 22 on DVD. Like, when I first introduced my girlfriend to wrestling, that was her first two wrestling matches with a Mick Foley and Edge in the hardcore match, and Shawn Michaels and Mr. McMahon in the No Hold Barred. And she's been a fan of Shawn Michaels ever since. Like, her favorite episode of Dark Side of the Ring is the Montreal Screwjob.
That's an interesting one, yes.
That's very interesting. Yeah.
Okay. So,
go ahead. Go ahead. What were you gonna say?
And then, like, one of the first matches that I showed her as far as like the art form is John Cena versus Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 23.
That was a good one.
That's easily my favorite. My second favorite John Cena match.
What would be your first?
John Cena and Edge at Unforgiven 2006 when they were in the tables, ladders, and chairs. Because, you know, I forgot how old I was, but that young, watching some dude literally pick a guy up while on a ladder and slam him through two stacked tables was like, you know, for me. So ever since then, that was like, that's always been my favorite match. And I had to watch that match too. And then I had to watch some because she loved ladder matches. So I had to watch the ultimate match, the Hardys, the Dudleys, Edge and Christian at WrestleMania 17 in that ladder match where, you know, Ed basically spears Jeff Hardy mid-air.
Yeah, I was fixing to ask that question. If you, have you gone back and like watched some of like the older stuff, and not just older WWE, like ECW, WCW, old NWA stuff? If you've gotten that deep into wrestling since then, or is, you know, how far back did you go with wrestling? So
whatever was on Dark Side of the Ring is how far back I go.
Okay.
Yeah, makes sense. It's like I know about, like, you know, Hulk Hogan before he was Hulk Hogan. I know about Chris Candy, I believe his name was, and then the
Chris
whole
Canyon?
Chris Canyon.
Yeah.
So, and then the Von Erich, which by the way, oh my god, the Von Erich. And so you know, whatever was on Dark Side of the Ring, I'm well aware of it. It's just that I never actually went back and watched all those matches.
Okay.
It's respectable.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we can give you a list. I can give you I can give you a match a day for like the next 2.5 years. Just watch this. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it's like I still feel like it. Honestly, Vince Russo is the reason WCW failed. Honestly.
Well, everybody had a finger in that old whore, but that's a different story.
Oh, yeah. And then Eric Bischoff came out and said that the reason why it went dog shit is because the network started getting involved and doing what the network wants, and the network is not in the wrestling business. They're in the TV business. They have no idea about wrestling. So once the network starts getting involved and saying, we want to do this, that's when things start going to shit.
Yeah.
And yep. I will say this. Mick Foley deserved to be WWE champion a lot longer than 3 times over a 1 month time period.
That's respectful.
He's a transition champ. It happens.
Oh, yeah, because, two reasons why. For one, who put their body on the line more than anyone else? Mick Foley. If I tell you, okay. Roger, what is the coolest wrestling match you've ever seen? What's the coolest thing in wrestling? Roger, you go first.
The coolest thing I've ever seen in a wrestling match?
Yeah.
It probably still has to be... I know it's bad, but Shane McMahon jumping off the Titantron.
Okay, Talon, what about you?
For me, it would probably have... it's a tie. It's a tie between the two coolest RKOs I ever seen in my life, the Seth Rollins and the Evan Bourne. They're 1A, 1B for me. Seeing Chip, the Shooting Star Press into it, and then, yeah.
Chip, what about you?
That happened in a wrestling match or on a wrestling show?
Both, I guess.
When I was younger, I thought the coolest thing ever was when Roddy Piper smashed the coconut over Jimmy Snuka's head.
That's a good one.
The other was it's kind of deranged, but when Mick Foley first debuted as Mankind and he had the match with Shawn Michaels and he just started stabbing his leg with an ink pen to get the feeling back in it.
Got that was it. Mind Games, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah. Wow. I totally forgot about that till you said something about it. Holy shit.
Actually, I'm gonna change my answer. Sorry.
Usually when I ask this question, everyone says, "Oh, Undertaker and Mankind in 1998 in that Hell in a Cell match."
That's one of the most brutal.
Yeah, it's not the coolest thing I've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then, Mick Foley is the reason why they broke the streak as far as rating goes. WCW went 88 weeks straight of having higher ratings. And then, on WCW, they let it out that, they're going to let that Mankind be WWE champion? What a joke. And people were turning off WCW and switching to WWE because nobody believed it. And then Stone Cold, who was out on an injury, comes out, interrupts the match. And then Mick Foley wins, and then from then on, WCW never topped in the ratings again. And I feel like if they hadn't said that about Mick Foley, if Mick Foley had not won the WCW championship, the ratings never would have changed.
I have to respectfully disagree with you on that point, and I'll explain to you why.
Doesn't matter why! No, I'm just kidding.
I love it. Let me explain why I respectfully disagree with you. Even though I do agree, had they had not said Mick Foley's going to win their world title, this will put a lot of butts in the seats, not that many people would have switched over, and you're correct, and they would have stayed on WCW. But you got to remember, that same night was the finger poke of doom. And that would have really pissed off the people. He's like, man, I could have watched the title change. Instead, I watched this bunch of political bullshit between Hogan and Nash. You would have been screwed either way. I think it was a multitude of things that combined that made people say, yeah, fuck WCW, I'm going to watch WWF now. Because at the time, WWF was a way better product at the time.
I mean, it was a better product to begin with.
True. Around that time, yes, it was a better product.
I mean, it's still the better. The only thing that the difference that WCW had over WWE at the time was literally NWO. Either way, it was still goofy gimmicks all around.
I I can't agree with that, because what about the cruiserweights? The cruiserweights were the main reason why most people tuned into WCW. Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero, you know, Juventud, all those guys, they were putting on bangers week after week. Granted, it was mostly on Nitro, and then they didn't give a shit about them once the pay-per-views came. But exactly. It kept the ratings. It kept the ratings. So,
hey, they weren't on the pay-per-views, and they were still outselling people on pay-per-views, so obviously it wasn't the direct correlation.
No, I'm not saying it wasn't. I'm just saying. But
okay.
So
then here's my next question. Y'all still watch modern WWE, right?
For the most part.
For the most part.
Who should be the one to break Roman Reigns' streak?
Not
Jey Uso.
No. Oh yes, Jey Uso. It should not be Cody Rhodes. But it's gonna be Cody Rhodes.
I feel like it should be Rhea Ripley.
That'd be amazing.
Rhea Ripley to dethrone Roman Reigns. And I wanted to hold the title, look down on me, and be like, remember, mommy's always on top, and walk away.
It'd be the greatest thing ever.
I would pop so hard for that.
Dude, I would too, man. That would be great. Yeah. In all honesty, I do think it is going to be Jay. I think they're doing – I'm not watching Raw tonight, obviously, because I'm here with you. But I think eventually what's going to boil down to is they're going to lead this thing all the way up into the Royal Rumble. I think Jay could possibly win the Royal Rumble, which will transition into him jumping back over to SmackDown to compete against Roman. And then that's when you'll see the coronation.
Because Cody Rhodes is the one being traded on SmackDown for Jay.
Man, I don't agree with that.
None of us agree with it, but...
if they were going to put it on Cody, they should have done it the last Mania.
But
if they were going to do that,
everybody expected it in this long term storytelling.
Yep.
But they're going to expect it this time too. I mean, unless you're throwing up another red herring, I don't know.
The reason why for me, it's like I never liked Roman Reigns, even when he was in the Shield. I never really liked him. You know, that's just me. I never liked Roman Reigns. So I take a long break from WWE, and then I'm in San Antonio. The Royal Rumble's happening. Everyone talking about it. So I'm like, okay, I got Peacock. Let me watch the Royal Rumble. I see the woman for Royal Rumble. This is my boot out. Oh my God, who is she? Oh my God, she's amazing. She wiped the blood all over her face. I'm like, why am I horny right now? And so then yeah, she went. I'm like, I've never been this excited about discovering a new wrestler since I fell in love with watching John Cena. So, and then I'm keeping up with this. Like, I am glued to wrestling at this point, right? And I'm looking at this. I'm like, who gives a fuck about Roman Reigns? Like, Rhea Ripley is the one who's selling all the tickets. Rhea Ripley is the one that's getting all the memes. Rhea Ripley should be the number one person. And I honestly feel like, if you were to let the title drop to Rhea Ripley, let Rhea Ripley break the streak for like 3 months, oh my God, the rating, the amount of stunts you would do, and then Dominic Mysterio, this could be the way you break them up.
I think the internet wrestling community would have a shitting hemorrhage. I think it'd be great, but people would be like, "What the fuck, man? Why should?"
He said it would be perfect.
But at the same time, it's like, I don't want Dominic and Rey to break up. And all honestly, I'm hoping it comes out that they're sleeping together backstage. I'm hoping that comes out. Because they are so perfect together. Like, oh my God. Like, me and my girlfriend, we just celebrated our 5-year anniversary. And we watched, like, oh my God, why can't we be like them?
Well, congratulations, I mean, by the way.
You can be like them. It's just called role-playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, except, I'm not going to get into it, but, like, I am such a fan that I fell in love with her so hard, I made a song about her and put it on Spotify.
Hold on. I'm looking this up now.
Yes.
She gotta be, it's called Dommy Mommy.
Dommy Mommy.
Dommy Mommy. Okay.
Hmm.
Yeah, so fun fact, I messed up on the lyrics and I didn't realize it till it was already uploaded. The lyric is "Bend me over so we can do it mission." And I didn't realize that, wait, that's not how missionary worked until I was listening to it randomly like a few days after it already like premiered and would upload and everything.
Eh.
Well, I mean, it's your song.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm there, like, I'll just keep it in. It's one of those catchy things. It's probably like a rewind moment.
That's right.
Like 50 Cent, he got hit like I got hit, but he ain't fucking breathing. That that's my version of that.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah.
I get it.
Yes.
So let's step away from wrestling for just a minute and let's go back over to the nerd culture. And so you're a devout White Ranger fan. What drew you to the White Ranger? What drew you to the White Ranger as opposed to the red, the green, the black, the blue, whatever?
So I didn't grow up with a TV show. I grew up with the movie, and I didn't really have any friends when I was, back in kindergarten. Everyone thought I was the weird kid who wasn't sure if these people were really my friends or if they were just taking pity on me and everything. And so for a while, it's like the Power Rangers were my friends. And, I had five older brothers, but it's like, where are they? Now I had two who were in jail and I would get letters, but I'm just like, this really what having a big brother supposed to be like? And Tommy, when I would just watch him, and I learned so much from him. And I was like, if I ever have friends, I want to be like Tommy. And so for a while, I did have that friend group. And I did feel like I was becoming Tommy. And then we all had this agreement, like, we'll all cosplay Power Rangers. You can be the white one. And it was all great. And then the pandemic happened. And then my music started getting a lot more traction. Then it's like, we're not 21 anymore. We're all about getting close to 30. So our lives are changing. And then I got to meet him, and the times that I met him, they were like, the word can't even describe, and I feel like it's a responsibility that I need to carry on the legacy of the White Ranger.
So you touched there on meeting JDF. What was it like that first time that you met JDF?
I felt like I was defying the impossible. Like, I didn't believe this was real. Like, I had prepared the speech, right? And I'm like, ever since I was 5 years old, I always wondered, what would I tell you if I had met you? And he interrupts me and is like, hey, bro, would you like me to sign your dragon, your tiger shield? Like, it really deserves the gold autograph. I'm like, oh, but I don't really have the money for it. He's like, nah, bro, it's cool. I'll just sign it. I'm like, okay. And I would tell you the same thing I would tell my other hero, Eminem. I'm that one kid out of 100 million. Hey, bro, you want me to sign your Saba? I'm like, sure. He's like, oh, yeah, bro. No, I appreciate you. Keep going, bro. And so he keeps giving me autographs and interrupting. I'm like, does he want to hear the speech or am I being annoying? But after the speech, he's like, I appreciate your kind words. Would you like a free White Ranger print? And then my friend who was helping me with the costume, he had a guitar, a Dragon Ball Z guitar. And JDF was a big fan of Dragon Ball. And he's like, hey, bro, were y'all going to play me something? And they're like, yeah. So we're playing the Power Ranger theme on the guitar. And we're singing it for him. And my girlfriend's the one filming this. And to this day, that taught me right there that it's not hard to defy the impossible. And I'm sorry if I'm getting emotional and teary-eyed.
No. Go ahead, man.
It's hard not to.
No, it's completely understandable.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then the second time, I met him at San Angelo Comic-Con, like, I think 6 months later. He remembered me. He's like, you're the rapper from San Antonio. I'm like, yeah, main characters can't do it alone. I love that song, bro. And because I had given him a flash drive with my Power Rangers song on it, I'm like, oh my God, JDF just rapped my own lyric to me. What's going on here? And so I didn't want an autograph or nothing. this was November, and in December, I'm supposed to open up for Lil Flip at a music festival. And Zero's supposed to be performing, Baby Bash, and Lil Kiki are supposed to be performing as well, right? Do you guys know who they are?
Yeah. Yes. The original Dom the Screwed Up Click.
Yeah. So I'm supposed to open up for Lil Flip when he does his set, right? And I tell JDF the whole plan and exactly how it's going to go down. And he's like, bro, can I have your soft? Because this time I had a full-size one, not a kid-size one. He autographed it, presented to me like this, and said, the power is yours now. And the night that he died, I relived that memory. Except this time, there was lightning around it, Saba was glowing, said, the power is yours now. I grabbed it, everything went black, and I hear, if yes to now, what the rock is cooking? Because that's my alarm, and that's why I feel the responsibility at the White Ranger, because in that dream, I feel like he was telling me, literally, the power is yours now. You're the new White Ranger.
Wow, man.
Yeah.
That's powerful right there. That is super powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so ever since then, it's like, I got to do a tribute. I got to do it. I was reached out by different people to do tribute project. I took on six of them. And in the end, I was the only one who was still dedicated to them. So I have six unfinished projects because everyone, like, they were very interested when he first died, and then a week later, they didn't care anymore. And I couldn't come up with a single tribute that would, like, you know, they really said what I wanted to say. And then one day I'm listening to that song, If I Can Dream by Elvis, and I'm like, this song's about a fallen hero. This could also display that I'm more than just a rapper. This might be it. So I sang for the first time publicly at IckyCon this year, technically, or IckyCon like 9 months ago. And I didn't think people were going to cry. I didn't think people were going to like, oh, we're going to start watching Power Rangers because of this. I didn't know that, you know, it was going to be so emotional. This is something that was doing for me because I felt it was something that I should do. And in the end, yeah, anytime I have the opportunity, I do the song.
That's awesome, man.
That's awesome.
You talked about Tommy Oliver being one of your favorite characters from the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. What is your favorite Tommy Oliver moment in the Power Rangers series? And it can be Mighty Morphin, it can be Zeo, anyone you want to pick from.
Probably because Chip, you know, my legal name is Fred.
And yes.
The name of the kid in the movie is Fred. So when Fred, like, it's impossible. Nah, Fred, anything's possible. That moment.
Mm.
So.
Whew.
So.
Whew. Wow.
No, get it out. Get it out.
Okay.
Get it out.
So yeah, that's that was a big thing for me, so that's why, you know, any other costume, it's like whatever, the Green Ranger, it's whatever, but the White Ranger, when I put it on, I always remember in the back of my head there's a certain standard to live up to.
Okay. Yeah,
it's awesome.
Well, and it's getting late, and we know you have, you know, other obligations to get to.
I mean, I still got 45 minutes.
Okay.
Okay.
If you guys are down, I'm still down.
Yeah,
we're down. I just didn't want to make you late for your next appointment.
Yeah. Oh no, you're fine. So how about we talk about something that's not teary-eyed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you like battle rap? There you go. I'll throw it out there.
I got something better. Which one of you, who had the trashiest waifu?
Oh, probably me, because they don't have waifus, I don't believe.
Who's your waifu?
Yeah, it depends, really, to be honest. I still have to go with a generic Hinata because I just love Naruto so much. But it, I don't know, it depends. There's Kagome from Inuyasha.
And your waifu trash, bro.
It is. All my waifus are trash.
Kagome trash, but Hinata, no. Hinata is a treasure. Let's not lie. Hinata is, oh my god. I remember clear day, people were like, Hinata deserved Naruto.
Oh, she did.
She's the one that cared about him. So. Yeah, I have a song called Your Waifu is Trash. It was before I started, like, really getting into Power Rangers. And, basically, like, no, I'm gonna make all these fanboy burn and crack, and now here's why your waifu was trash. Let me start it off with the Naruto slut. Hit the fanboy, the lyrical punch in the gut. Hinata stock, a Sakura pain in the butt. She's more juicy than annoying than a chihuahua mutt. Not even gonna try to watch One Piece uncut. Manami equally as greedy as Bo a Hancock. And I just list all these waifus and why they're trash. And then there's like a breakdown where I'm like, and now, ladies and gentlemen, the best girl of 2018 and trashiest waifu of them all, my waifu. I don't understand the hype. In my opinion, calm down, son. It's just a drawing. So I just picked the hottest waifu at the time, 02 from Darling in the Frank. And then I do 32 bars of why she's the trashiest waifu of them all.
Okay.
And my biggest burn, she ain't even real. She's a clone of the queen. Everything great about her came from a machine.
That's not bad, actually.
That's bars. That's bars right there.
Bars.
Yeah. So, okay, so you guys don't have waifus. Let's see. What conventions are you guys going to next?
Next one is Sand Mountain.
Well, once
this one comes out.
Yeah.
So the day this comes out, we'll have just got back from Sand Mountain Collectors Con in Albertsville, Alabama. And then in October, we have Cartersville Comic Con in Cartersville, Georgia, Chattanooga Comic Con in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Got Yamacon in December.
Yamacon in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee in December. And I feel like I'm missing one off the top of my head, but that's where we're at.
And plus, we're also making appearances at Plus Ultra Coffee, like every month, also doing trivia nights and stuff like that. So, yeah,
we do trivia night at an anime themed coffee shop once a month.
Got it. Yeah, I DJ at K-pop night once a month.
Awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What?
I was just gonna say what conventions do you have coming up?
The only two that I'm like confirmed for are SG Expo in December and IkiCon in January. Everything else it's like, if I get approved, if I get the green light, cool. If not, you know, it's fine. IkiCon's the biggest one of the year and pretty much the most important one for me at this point in time. Mm-hmm. So it's whatever. And, you know, my girlfriend really wants to go to SG Expo. So I'm like, okay, yeah, hopefully they green light me for this one. They already hint, nudge, mudge, but I'm green lit, but I don't have the official word yet.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you guys ever, do you guys know what SG Expo is?
I've heard of it, but I've heard the name, but I'm not 100% familiar with it.
It's a hentai convention.
Okay. Oh.
Hey, May.
Sorry.
I shouldn't have done. She's going to kick my ass if she hears this.
Wait, what?
Nothing. Keep going.
You're going to kick your butt for hearing it?
If she hears it.
About him wanting to go to a hentai convention.
No, she will. You know what? Never mind.
See, we are torn from a different cloth. My girlfriend loves hentai. Like, at San Japan, she has to drag me to the hentai panel.
Okay.
Drag you to it?
Yeah. Wow. I don't get it. It's just a drawing. It's not a real person. And even at these hentai conventions, I still don't get it. It's like, it's not like it's a brothel, bro. Like, calm down.
tentacle could be.
That's not no, the only thing not hentai even. Has.
What happens in the green room stays in the green room, man.
Not true.
So, anyway, so like she dragged me to this channel called Hentai History just last weekend. It's in Japan. And to sum it up, America has nobody to blame but themselves.
Yeah, yeah, pretty I much. Can see that.
So what happened is in World War II, Japan doesn't like outsiders. So after World War II, we have that, you know, bill where we have to help them rebuild their infrastructure. So we just invite ourselves over, give them all this motion picture stuff, and like, here's how to use it. This is what you're going to be making now. And after we leave, Japan's like, what should we make that everyone's going to love? Porn! Everyone's going to love that! And so America has no one to blame but themselves for hentai. That's right, blame your great-grandpa. Your great-grandpa is the reason why hentai is a thing.
Oh, Lord.
So, and then she dragged me to this one called Horrible Hentai Dubs. It's like 2 hours of hentai, right? But it's all the 10 to 15 second clips highlighting how bad the English dub is.
No, they're all great.
Yeah. So there's this one where the guy's like, come on, let me go, man. I gotta beat my knee. And then the scientist is like, damn, bro, your dick is doing the cha-cha down there.
Oh, that's awesome.
God.
Yeah. And then, like, they'll highlight where the voice is from. Like, there's this one where it's like, in the corner, they say, also voice actor of Yugi from Yu-Gi-Oh!, also voice actor of Ash from Pokemon. The guy who voices Yugi was voicing a character named Ash. And the guy who voiced Ash Ketchum was voicing a character named Yuya. And you hear Ash Ketchum and Yugi, like, getting it on. And I'm like, what the fuck am I watching? Right? And that moment, she ruined my childhood right then and there.
It ruined it or it made it better?
Ruined my childhood. I just heard Ash Ketchum, come on, Ash, do it to me. Come on, Yuya, do it to me. Right? And I'm just like, oh my God, what am I doing here? Why am I with this girl? Keep in mind, were we officially together yet? I don't remember.
Yes.
So you're telling me that Yugi sent Ash to the Shadow Realm with his cock?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I was just one of this one girl, like, the army just died, right? So she just gets down and starts touching herself, and when she starts squirting, it's like a fire hose, and all of a sudden, all the dead bodies have come back to life. And then I'm like, who comes up with this stuff? What kind of sick freak, right? And I'm like,
Japan.
I'm like, babe, is this what you watch? Like, so that's basically my girlfriend in a nutshell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I have to respond to that.
You've mentioned San Japan several times. Tell us about San Japan and why you enjoy going to that particular convention.
San Japan is a magical place. It always has been. San Japan is where I discovered who I am. San Japan is where I asked my girlfriend to be my girlfriend. San Japan is where I've had successes, losses, and San Japan was, at one point, my only safe space to really be who I am. Because, you know, at the time, you know, being an anime lover wasn't as popular back then as it is now, you know, 10 years ago. And San Japan was, like, the only, my judgment-free zone where, you know, there were other conventions like MizumiCon, but MizumiCon's not here anymore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was a time, at least in Texas, where we only had 5 major conventions. San Japan, Anime Monterey, Akon, IkiCon, and OniCon, and that was it. Whereas now, we have 4 conventions happening the same weekend in a different city in Texas. And then, like, in San Antonio, aside from the 3 conventions outside of San Antonio, there's, like, 2 or 3 conventions happening inside San Antonio.
Oh, wow.
San Antonio first voted the nerdiest city in the country just behind Los Angeles and New York.
Yeah, I was looking for the name of it. I actually seen an advert for a con in San Antonio in April that I wanted to go to, and I should have written it down.
Are you talking about Riverwalk Anime Fest?
Yes.
Ah, bro, that's just a Comic-Con with anime characters. I mean, like, nothing against them, it's just like, I wouldn't call it an anime con, because it's not really... It doesn't feel like an anime con. It feels like a Comic-Con trying to profit off of the anime market. Because, like, for me, an anime con for me is, I don't care who the guests are. I came for the activities. I came for the panels. I came to see my friends. I came to leave. I came to be drugged out of a room party at 7 o'clock in the morning. Like, yeah. I don't drink alcohol, but, like, I love going to the room parties and being around the people.
Right.
And, you know, I just love having fun with people. And, you know, that's always been my first Comic-Con. I'm like, what is this? Where are the panels? Why is it a one giant dealer room? Like, I was like, Patrick, what is this place? I literally asked for my money back, and I felt like it was false advertising. So, like, ever since then, it's like, I have nothing against Comic-Cons. I enjoy going. But, you know, I have a lot more fun at anime cons simply because, you know, there's the panels and there's, like, you know, the fan-run content. It's like, I enjoy fan-run content so much that some of the content that's not even there anymore, I'm like, you know what, since we don't do this anymore, I'm going to do it by myself. I'm going to run it since nobody else is doing it. Like cosplay dating game. I love cosplay dating games. So much so that, just a few weeks ago, I decided, you know what? I haven't seen cosplay dating game in a year at anywhere. I'm going to run it myself because, like, I want to play cosplay dating game at a con.
Okay. What is cosplay dating game for those who don't know?
You ever see that that dating game from the 70s, that cheesy one?
Yeah.
That had the serial killer on it?
It's just like that.
Yeah, the one. Yeah.
Yeah, except if you're role-playing as your character, no one actually goes on a date.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. So you have to ask your questions in character, and the bachelors and the contestants have to answer in character. Like, at Candy Pan 2019, Wonder Woman asked, I was bald, and I was Saitama from One Punch Man. Right here is Vincent from Devil May Cry, and right here is Naruto from Naruto. And Wonder Woman asked, what is your weapon of choice? Vincent, Excalibur, Naruto, my Rasengan. I don't really use weapons, but if I had to choose one, I'd say a banana. If you were surrounded by 20 enemies, what would you do? I would use Excalibur and my trusty pistol. Naruto, I'd use my shadow clone. And I got a microphone, I'm like, too bad it only lasts 1 minute. Right? And then he's like, excuse me, but who has more episodes? And I'm like, oh, please. If I wanted that much filler in my anime, I'd go watch One Piece. And speaking of One Piece, they spend a thousand episodes looking for a One Piece. They just go to Popeye's and get a two-piece and a biscuit for $2.99. Mm. And then the people run the panel like, ladies, please, you're both beautiful. Wonder Woman picked me.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. And my girlfriend was enjoying the hell out of this. And then one of my favorite ones, I forgot which con it was, but one of the girls from Doki Doki Literature Club, like the crazy one that kills you so that no other woman can have you.
Yep.
I was Elvis, and she was like, I forgot what she said. I don't know, what kind of art would you make for me, right? And L from Death Note was like, well, I have this notebook I could write about you. And then I just got up with the microphone. I'm like, why men say only fools rush in. I start singing. And then everyone starts clapping, hollering. And then, like, then there was a girl who was from some anime I don't remember. In the end, she picked the girl. And everyone's like, ah, what? No. I won the crowd over, at least. I know the crowd would have picked me. So I want to host that panel just because I want to see it at a convention more often. And I'm willing to, even if I can't play, I'm willing to play the host just because I want to play it and I love playing it.
So of your, you mentioned earlier that you have 11 panels that you provide at cons.
Yeah.
In your repertoire, which is your favorite to produce?
My favorite is going to be Otaku Rap Concert. That's the one where I can perform, and 9 times out of 10 I perform by myself, so I can do all my songs.
Okay. Now, is that more of an evening event after, like, say you do a con and, like, you know, it's about 7-8 o'clock in the evening and all the vendors have already left and stuff like that, or is it something you do during the day?
My concert is all ages, so you can put it at any time, honestly.
Okay.
But it's gotten so big that at some convention, they got to put it in the main event room after the cosplay contest. Simply because it's like people who are already there don't have to leave.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it is a really good idea, yeah.
Yeah. So the total panels I do at first is Otaku Rap Festival, which is 2 hours. It's me, my co-host on the podcast, Mercedes, our friend Exomani, and about 3 or 4 other nerdy rappers from around the state and country. Like Navas Tyler and Big Adody in Houston, Geeks of the Super Nerd up in Mississippi, Aaron Ollie in Atlanta, Georgia. Then there's Rap Concert, which if I'm not by myself, I'll do it with Mercedes and Exomani. And then there's Otaku Rap Party. This is 18 plus. This is after hours. If you're going to a room party and it's shut down, just go here. We can't get shut down. The venue usually sets up a bar area right next to the panel room during this. And basically, we just freestyle with the audience. We invite the audience to freestyle with us. We'll perform like 1 or 2 songs originally, but 9 times out of 10, it's just us freestyling with the audience and inviting the audience to maybe perform their song if they have any original songs. And then there's Anime Bingo, like I said. Initial D discussion. Y'all know what Initial D is.
Yep.
Okay.
Pretty much Tokyo Drift before Tokyo Drift.
Yeah. Yu Yu Hakusho versus Hunter x Hunter. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, I hate Hunter x Hunter. Yu Yu Hakusho is the most underrated anime.
Yu Yu Hakusho is the greatest anime ever. You can't change my mind. That is the hill I'm willing to die on.
I mean, I agree with you. It's one of the most underrated of all time.
I have a couple of questions for you.
Anime of all. Oh, he's got it. Go ahead.
All right. What is, in your opinion, what is the most overrated anime of all time?
I'm ready for it.
Dragon Ball Z.
Ooh. Okay.
See, my thing is, I don't know if it's really overrated anymore because so many people don't like it anymore.
Here's why. When you rewatch Dragon Ball Z as adult, you realize it's just 20 minutes of talking and standing around waiting for Goku and like 2 minutes of actual fighting.
I can get that.
Yeah.
That is literally every episode. And then here's my next thing. Why is everyone just standing there waiting for Goku? Like, you guys can try something. But that's the next thing. Anytime they try something, it's like, oh, everyone gets their butt kicked because they didn't wait for Goku. Like, the Dragon Ball movie, Tree of Might, is one of my favorite ones because everyone at least stands a chance at first. Everyone is useful in the fight. Whereas the further you get into Dragon Ball, it's like nobody's useful in the fight except for Goku and Vegeta.
Gohan. Young Gohan, I guess.
Yeah. And now, like, even in Dragon Ball Super, it's like, I understand, like, this is the life Gohan wanted, but it's like, you know, your dad's not going to be there forever to protect everybody. You do know that, right? And I'm not trying to say it's going to rest on your shoulders, but once your dad's gone, it's kind of going to rest on your shoulders because Goten and Trunks are so far removed from this that I don't think they're ever going to start training again.
That makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, what was your other question?
When watching anime, subbed or dubbed?
Sub for newer anime, dub for older anime.
It's a good answer.
Makes sense. Yeah. We asked that at a convention last month, and the girl that I asked it to, the look that I got, like, it was literally, if looks could kill, I would have been dead.
Hold on, I'm gonna show you real quick.
I can send him the
Him the clip.
That way you get the full thing. Yeah. So what's your anime hot take?
What do you mean anime hot take?
Like an unpopular opinion.
Yeah.
Unpopular opinion. If you're gonna watch One Piece, read the manga instead. Really, don't watch One Piece. Just read the manga. It's gonna go by faster.
Watch the live action.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about the live action.
That's because Ito's actually a part of it, so he actually makes sure it sticks to the manga.
Thank you. About finally.
He's the one that actually was. He was the one that had the final say on all the casting.
Oh my god, the casting is grade A.
It actually really is. Emily Webb was the best choice for Nami.
Yeah, I really want Eminem to play Emery.
I mean, he can.
He can, yeah. Okay, I got one for you.
Uh-huh.
What anime would you recommend to someone who's never seen anime before?
So, I recommend 5.
Okay.
Because you want to have a handful to try out. One being Death Note, because, you know, it's short. Cowboy Bebop, because it's a classic.
Yep.
One Punch Man, because it's comical. Attack on Titan, because you need a dark one. And then lastly, Yu-Gi-Oh! GX. Not Yu-Gi-Oh! With Yu-Gi and Kai, but Yu-Gi-Oh! GX, because...
it's the better one.
There's a lot of card games, and this one actually teaches you the basics of how to play the game.
It's also the better story for all of them.
Okay.
Kind of, sort of. But yeah, those are my top 5 anime that I recommend to people.
Yeah.
Yeah, Talon loves Death Note.
What's what?
Talon's favorite anime ever is Death Note.
Okay. I don't like how it ended. I wanted to see Light Yagami's Empire.
So you know there's an anime called that does the exact same thing but better, and it's called Code Geass?
Geass. You never even told me about that, asshole.
No, of course not. I don't want you to watch one of my favorite animes.
Why not?
Why don't you want him to? Why?
Because he needs to
discover anime on his own. I already told him to watch JoJo and he hasn't done that.
Bullshit.
How far are you into it?
Tell you what. Talon, stop watching.
5 episodes in? Yeah, I was trying to watch Tokyo Revengers and shit, and for some reason it didn't work.
Oh my god, Tokyo Revengers is my favorite new anime favorite current new anime. That is better than Jujutsu Kaisen, Demon Slayer.
By far.
Where's that list? Hold on.
The list of stuff I told you to watch?
Yes, okay, so first thing.
You wrong yet?
Well, hold on, motherfucker, wait. Okay, so. You gotta understand, when I started watching anime, I didn't really like watch a shit ton of it, but I watched what came on Toonami. You know what I mean? Same. So, Dragon Ball Z, Cowboy Bebop, you know, those are the ones I kind of remember. You know,
you watch Samurai Champloo.
Samurai Champloo.
It's like 10 episodes and it's hip hop version of Cowboy Bebop, pretty much.
I'm
made by the same guy.
Okay. So anyway, but yeah. So, but then as I got older. I kind of went away from anime, you know, other things that preoccupied me, stuff like that. Got back into it when I seen Death Note. I watched all 35 or 36 episodes of Death Note.
Uh-huh.
The first 14 episodes are good.
Yep, the first half.
But as soon as... controversial take.
As soon as
L dies, I was kind of done with it.
It goes downhill because it doesn't make sense at that point.
Yeah. It
literally gets rushed and it makes no sense at that point.
And then you find out that there's somebody else who also has a Death Note, and it's like, and then there's
That's not that bad. It's just the whole rules to Death Note doesn't make sense to itself.
Yeah, and then you think, okay, this is gonna be this big thing, and then Ryuk's just like,
bye.
His name in a note. Bye. That's it. You know? And it's like, dude, we all knew you were Akira. Like, we all knew you were Akira. Like, you know, I don't know why I said Akira. We all know you were Akira. You know what I mean? But it's like, it sucked. You're right, it did. But for those first 13 to 14 episodes, I thought it was great. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, right now, my current thing is Demon Slayer. Like, my son loves Demon Slayer. Like, he's all about it. Like, his favorite character is Inosuke. He loves Inosuke.
Hey, of course your kid loves Demon Slayer. It's an anime for babies!
It is.
Stupid babies!
It is an anime for babies. Yeah. All anime is for babies for the most part. Yeah.
My daughter's three and she loves it.
Wait. So you would let your baby watch Bible Black is what you're telling me.
That's a hentai. That's not an anime.
It's different,
it's not
yeah.
an anime.
Is no,
it's hentai. It's hentai.
It's an anime. It's just a pornographic anime.
So a hentai. That's like saying porn movies are cinematic movies.
Yeah, so you...
Yeah. Yeah, the summer blockbuster, Gutter Sluts 3. Like, I mean, really? That don't correlate, you know?
Backdoor Bandits.
Backdoor Bandits.
Classic porn wrong movies, with you? I would agree with you. Newer one, I don't really know what newer porn is like, so I wouldn't be able to tell you, but like... have you guys ever seen Boogie Nights?
With
Mark Wahlberg.
Marky Mark?
Yeah. Where how the guy's like, you know, I want to make pornographic films that when people are finished doing their business, they continue watching because they want to see how the film ends. Right?
I watched Boogie Nights when I was little and I was like, this is stupid. And when I went to watch back, I was like, yeah, it's still stupid.
No, as an adult, here's the thing. Boogie Nights is amazing because it showed like the porn industry could have been something great.
It's a billion dollar industry.
I know, but it could have been like, let me rephrase that. It could have been a great cinematic genre. Like, there would be like at the Oscars, they could have like a category for this until what happened? Cocaine.
Yeah,
that's basically Boogie Nights. Here's this amazing thing that porn could have been until cocaine came along.
So you're telling me right now that if cocaine hasn't been brought into this country,
into Hollywood,
that we would be getting Best New Starlet at the Oscars is what you're telling.
So the AVNs
that's basically
would be
what the movie
Oscars.
Is telling you.
The Oscars went to AVNs, really. Oh Lord. Angela White would be a 3-time Oscar winner. This is amazing. Okay.
Who's Angela White?
Probably the best supporting actress, maybe.
Yeah.
Because are any of them leads technically?
If it's girl, then I guess it's not really a lead.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like it's weird. Like how would you even categorize that?
Well, go to the hub and see how they do it, I guess. I don't know.
So anyway, we are at that 15-minute mark. Do you guys have any final questions?
I have a couple that I want to get out real quick. Who do you think is the worst anime protagonist?
You can say Goku, it's fine.
Yeah, it's Goku, most likely.
Let's see.
Actually, Naruto might be the worst protagonist.
Hey. Me and Naruto had a similar childhood, okay? I wanted to be a famous rapper because I wanted people to look up to me like I'm somebody important, because I'm so used to the whole, you're annoying, get away from us.
Yeah,
you know, when I was a kid, I was used to that. So.
Yeah, but he literally gets trained by two of the greatest ninjas of all time and learns three moves.
I know.
I guess it's better than Zenitsu with one.
Keep in mind, Kakashi only knows a thousand moves because of the Sharingan.
Yeah, but he's still able to control multiple elements naturally. Even before the Sharingan, he was able to. That's how he was the youngest graduate of the Ninja Alliance. It was literally before he got a Sharingan.
Look, you got to remember, Naruto is not very book smart, okay? He had to use his clone to make a Rasengan.
It also doesn't make any sense because he had
everyone else can do it.
Yeah. doesn't make any sense.
I'm convinced that Naruto either has attention disorder or autism, because that's why he needs two, because he can't focus on two things at once, whereas everyone else can focus on two things at once. So he needs one shadow clone to focus on one thing, and he can focus on the other thing, and that's how he's able to make the Rasengan.
Also, don't forget that people hate him for something he wasn't even in control of, because he was a one-day-old baby.
Oh, yeah.
The fox.
Yeah. Lo, yeah. You're a Jinchuriki against your own will. We hate you. I'm the one. Day
did you guys
old.
Ever see, I forgot the name of the movie, but it was a Naruto movie where Naruto and Sakura are transferred into an alternate reality. And in this reality, Sakura's parents are dead, and she's, everyone looks at her like, oh, the child of the heroes who saved our village. And Naruto, his parents aren't dead, and there's like photo albums that he's looking through of all these memories that he doesn't have, and it's like, oh my god, my parents are alive, I have a family. And then Sakura's like, okay, Naruto, we have a way, and it's like, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. And then his father, Minato, is like, son, I know you're not the Naruto from this dimension. I could tell, right, but you have to go back. You have people there who love you. Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, he literally had everything he ever wanted, and he has to let it go for the greater good.
All right, I got another question for you.
Mm-hmm.
What's the one anime moment that really made you emotional, made you cry?
It still makes me cry to this day. Episode 1 of Yu Yu Hakusho, where Kurabara is like, get out of that box and fight me, you bug! Get out of the box! Because he's dead. And Christopher Sabat should have won something for that voice acting, because, oh my god, Christopher Sabat's voice acting in Kurabara is Oscar-worthy. Christopher Sabat's voice acting in Dragon Ball Super? Bro, are you even trying to differentiate the voices between Vegeta and Piccolo? Like, it sounds like they're both using the same voice.
He can at this point. His voice is destroyed. Even in Free, his voice sounds the same.
Oh. That makes sense, honestly.
Yeah, he's literally said that his vocal cords have been ruined because of Dragon Ball. So he can't really differentiate them. Because if you notice after, I think it's like 2008 or 9, all his characters sound the same because of how just much yelling he's done. It's literally all been ruined.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, but all right. At this point, what does it matter if he changes his voice? Everybody knows who he is.
Right.
Okay. Any all other right. questions?
No, last nope. thing. Oh. If people wanted to follow you, where do they go?
Give me a D!
D.
Give me an E!
E.
Give me an A!
A.
Give me a C!
C.
C.
ONRAP, Deacon Rap, on Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, Tinder, Pornhub, Apple Music, Grindr. Literally everywhere that you can stream music, you can find me on.
It's all a right. Grindr.
So...
That's
so
the one you
check this out.
I didn't know you were ambidextrous.
So I actually have a Tinder and a Grindr, and here's why. So you know how there's like thousands of people swiping, checking out profile?
Sure.
Yes.
My Tinder and Grindr actually advertise my music. It's basically free advertising. They're not like I don't actually use them. Like even if people hit me up, I'm like, oh, would you like to follow my music here?
Hey, that's pretty smart.
Yeah. And then, like Pornhub, I don't have all my videos on Pornhub, but, like, Pornhub pays more than YouTube. And you know how YouTube, you need at least 1,000 subscribers and so many watch hours?
Yeah.
Pornhub, you don't need any of that. As soon as you start uploading, you can start getting paid instantly.
Yeah, I guess we want to put our podcast up on there.
Yeah, yep. What you called it. Bro, I've made so much money from Pornhub, like, I'm about to pay off my car.
That's what's up.
I'm kidding. I don't actually have it on Pornhub. No, but what I mean, is true, though. You actually can start making money as soon as you upload. You don't need a subscriber count or watch hours.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy.
All right, well, we know where our new central hub is going to be.
Yes. For sure. All right. Well, man, we greatly appreciate you joining us here tonight. It's been an amazing episode. Learned a whole lot. Feel like I gained a new friend out of this experience. So, you know, greatly appreciate you joining us tonight.
Well, thank you guys. And what you called it? Hopefully I can see you guys at a con sometime.
We are trying to go to Texas next year.
We are trying to go to Texas, so.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Come to Texas and we'll get Whataburger.
I've never had Whataburger.
I have.
It's
not
what,
water, it's water.
Whataburger.
Not Whataburger.
We gotta get Whataburger and we gotta go to the, and if you gotta come to San Antonio, we gotta go
Riverwalk.
To the West Side. No. Fuck the river. We're going to the West Side and we're getting authentic Mexican food.
I'm down.
I've been to border towns. So I've had Mexican food.
Yeah. So we're not going to go to any tourist trap. No, we are going to go to the red light district and see the people. We're going to go to Rick Rick Otaku Cafe. We're going to go to Gino Deli. We're going to invade Poland. We're going to start a coup in France. We're going to...
I mean, I'm okay with all this.
Yeah.
I'm okay with this. I mean, I don't like how France is nowadays, so I'm always ready for a coup.
Coup in France. That sounds like a dispensary, but okay. We go to the next thing. But yeah, man, absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on the show with us tonight, man. We really do appreciate it. As all guys, again, check him out on Spotify, YouTube, all the good things. Deacon Porn Rap,
Hub, Tinder,
Pornhub, Tinder, Grindr, Bounce. What is it?
Fuck?
I was trying to think of what the person. Bumble. There we go. That's what it was. I was like,
what the fuck is Bounce?
Guys,
Bounce XL is a channel.
Disclaimer, I'm happy in my relationship. My girlfriend knows this is comical. She's very okay with it. Like, my girlfriend wishes I used my Grindr because my girlfriend likes guys who go both ways. So that's another story for another podcast. But, you know, thank you guys so much for having me. It's been fun. And I'd like to send you some of my artists, if that's okay.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. All right. That being said, though, if you're just going to hang on to for just 1 second while we pay a couple of bills. Chip, Roger, anything you guys want to say before we bounce tonight?
As always, please do not leave without leaving a like, comment, share, and subscribe on Spotify and right here on YouTube.
Easy for you to say. Roger.
Yeah.
I just remember last time when you did the outro and Alan goes, hit him with the outro. Like right after you did the outro.
Yes.
Get your shit, man. Come on.
I mean, we pretty much said the same thing. You know, thank you for being on YouTube. Subscribe, like, comment, share with everybody. All the support is great. Obviously, if you're on Spotify, give us a 5-star. And if you don't give it a 5-star, tell us why. You say it with your chest. Don't be a bitch.
Roger, go shit in the bed. Also,
heard you.
Yeah, exactly. Check us out on all of our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Check out the YouTube channel. Again, right here, subscribe. Click the bell to get notified of our latest videos. Check out streamlabs.com/movementradio/merch and go copy some brand new merch. We've got new designs coming within the next couple of months. And again, as always, check out movementradio.us, your one-stop shop for all things Movement Radio.
I am Chip Hazard.
I'm Talon Williams.
I'm Roger Sierra.
And I'm awesome!
You ruined it.
And this... and this is Movement Radio.
God's plan. This is awesome. Bye. Hey, buddy.